Okay, welcome to the Phi Life Podcast. With me, I'm John Barman, and with me today is Brian Chung, and Brad Pilon is sort of AWOL for this week. We just couldn't catch up to get this week's Phi Life done, so that's why we're a bit late. So in this show, we're going to talk about, I guess, two things that sort of end up being getting down to the same thing, or at least the same story, but it kind of goes two different directions. We're gonna finish up talking about the concept of loose skin after dramatic weight loss, and we're going to also tackle the idea of belly fat and how people keep referring to belly fat as being, quote, stubborn. And I don't think people quite have the right conception of how to lose belly fat, and the, you know, I think people think the fat stored around their abdomen is significantly different or physiologically different than the fat on the rest of their body, and so they I think calling it stubborn actually is a bad thing, because over time I think people actually think it's got like a different set of characteristics than the rest of the fat. So we're going to be talking about both of those things. But Brian, you brought up something about you wanted to kind of close up the points about loose skin, and so I'll just kind of throw it over to you about that.
Yeah, I think it's all going to tie in ultimately in our conversation with the stubborn belly fat and also the whole idea of loose skin. It was really interesting because last week, after we had done Phi Life, I sat down and talked with a couple of my mentors who are, you know, practicing plastic surgeons and have done a few of these massive weight loss patients operated on, rather. What's really interesting is that with even with the bariatric patients, like the amount of weight you actually have to lose is quite enormous before you end up with genuine loose skin. And you know, they're sort of talking on the level of 100 to 200 pounds, you know, and we're talking about like a 400-pound person going down to 200 to 150 pounds, mm-hmm. Not somebody who's sort of 200-ish and dropping down to 150, right? In fact, you might, for somebody who's 400 pounds, losing 50 pounds doesn't even dent anything. You can't even tell that they've lost 50 pounds. I went online again and just sort of very casually Googled loose skin and weight loss on the internet and looked at a bunch of images. And what was really surprising, there were a few pictures of people who had genuine loose skin. They were massive weight loss patients in some way, degree, shape, or form, whether they did it on their own or because they had surgery. But by and large, I wonder whether people's concept of loose skin is perhaps a little distorted for some reason, because most of the time when I looked online at the images, it wasn't loose skin, it was just more fat. And so I wonder what's going on, if what's going on is people have an idea of how much weight they want to lose, and they might say, "Oh, I want to lose 30 pounds for whatever reason," and you know, they come up with a number, and however they come up with that number, I have no idea, but they come up with a number, they reach that number, and they look at themselves in the mirror, and they still have fat that they haven't lost because they really haven't gone down far enough in terms of their body fat percentage, and they think that they've lost it. They've lost all the fat they're going to need to lose because they're at that target weight. And they notice they still have a little bit of this sort of hanging punch look to themselves. And they think, well, it can't possibly be fat because I've already lost all the weight that I really needed to lose. But I still look like I have this sort of flaccid stuff on me. And inside that flaccid stuff, I think, is just more fat. And they just haven't gone that far. They haven't gone far enough.
Yeah, that's interesting, because lots of people, it's kind of like, I'm not exactly sure what the psychology is of for women, but for guys, you and I were talking about this, guys that just don't get how light they have to be really ripped. Like, I think every guy thinks he can be, I think every guy to a man thinks he's heavier than he actually is when he's all the way to his kind of leanest body shape. Like, every guy I know who's ever been in a bodybuilding show was always lighter than he thought he was going to be when he got down to his get down to his like ripped six pack level. And unless you're the type of guy who's naturally lean all the time, in which case you already know, you know, what weight you're going to be, because you're, you know, You're already there. You're always there. Whereas most guys don't get the fact that it's a lot further down than they think. Like, you know, guys on our forum, you know, they're commenting. I get emails every now and then from guys who are, you know, they're looking great. They're getting in shape. They're losing all kinds of weight. They're starting to get, you know, their six pack is finally showing through. And then I'll get an email and the guy's worried that he's too light. And I'm like, no, that's just how much you're supposed to weigh. And they just can't, you know, it's this thing, you brought it. I mean, you mentioned it, but Brad Pilon came up with it. It's the permission to be light. It's just guys don't need to be, we're just not as heavy as we think we are. And I don't know really where that comes from. I guess it's the bigorexia thing. It's the thinking you're just bigger than you are. And I guess it's the opposite of girls. Guys are scared to be light and girls are scared to be heavy.
Yeah. I think what happens is that guys especially start investing a lot of their identity into their weight. And it's hard to let go of that, I think. I find it hard to let go of even as well. Even though, you know, for the longest time I was at 160, and then I was like, oh, I got to gain a whole lot of weight, and got myself up to about 205, and now I'm on my way back down. And after hitting 205, it felt like I had accomplished something, and now it's like, oh, where am I going with this?
Like, what exactly was it that you accomplished?
Yeah, exactly. But because you've put so much effort, you put so much effort into getting that weight. For a person who's a quote-unquote hard gainer, right?
Which everybody is.
Which everybody thinks they are, right? You actually have to work at putting calories into yourself to get up to that weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like it comes naturally where you're like, oh, I'll just eat naturally and my weight will just naturally go up. No, you are like trying to get those whatever 3,000, 5,000, whatever calories into you, and it's work.
You're force feeding yourself. I wonder, for any of the women listening, please email or leave a comment if you think this is bizarre, like guys like trying to gain weight like at all means possible, because I know this is the complete opposite of what women like are, you know, the pressures they're faced with, whereas, you know, we're doing the reverse. Our goals are to get heavier and heavier. And it's, you know, I think it's part of like, I don't know, growing up or something, or like, becoming a man or something. The idea that, you know, you can't be small or tiny. Like it's something about that, like coming of age thing, but it's like we're never satisfied. We just have to be bigger and bigger.
Well, there have been a couple of studies on body image in men, and part of the research has been done by that group of researchers at Harvard who came up with the whole Adonis complex, which I don't necessarily subscribe to, and I've written and published reviewed papers on that. But I think there is a what some of that research has shown is that, you know, when they surveyed a whole bunch, I think it was French, British, and American men, and they sort of showed them a grid of silhouettes, and they said, where do you think you are on this silhouette? And all of the silhouettes have different degrees of muscularity. Where do you think you are on this grid, and where would you like to be? And it didn't matter where men thought they were on the grid. They generally wanted to be a body frame that was approximately 30 pounds heavier than they thought they were.
Mm.
And that was their preference. And then they didn't do the reverse on women or anything like that. So, you know, in terms of, you know, attractiveness, we're not even touching that. We're just looking at what do men think they are and what do they want to be. And generally, men seem to want to be about 30 pounds heavier when you try to correlate the silhouettes, because the silhouettes all have different sort of, it's not the most scientific study, I have to say, but you know, all the silhouettes have different degrees of muscle, not leanness, because it's just a silhouette, right?
Yeah, but then we're talking about proportions, which is good.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think even men's idea of what their proportions are is completely off.
Yeah, I don't know where that comes from. It's almost as if it's rare to find people who have a relatively accurate view of what they look like. And are,
well,
and are,
any
and
of
are
those
even,
guys aren't listening to this podcast.
Yeah, probably.
But we probably don't talk to them a whole lot.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying in general, it seems like there's not too many guys or girls who, or at least maybe that's a process to the point where you're finally like recognize it for what it is and accept it. But it seems like everybody is, the grass is always greener, or everyone's looking in another, like always, guys are always want to be a bit bigger and girls seem to always want to be a bit lighter.
Yeah, and there's no end point.
Well, that's why we came up with Venus and Adonis. Yeah. We tried to pin an end point to both.
Yeah. Like there's no end point. You can, like we've talked about before, there's a constant gain or a constant loss.
That's how people think, but we've come up with good endpoints for both.
Yeah, exactly.
Which when you actually think about it, there is research to indicate that those endpoints are good or are appealing to everybody. And when you compare it to models and like figure models and just models that you'd see, it kind of makes sense. They're all kind of within that range. So there actually is an endpoint. Just people, I guess they just need to be introduced to the concept of it, because they otherwise, like what you're saying, this research is showing, and there's other research, people just don't get it. They just think there's this never ending climb up the mountain to be more muscular for guys, and this never ending losing weight or body fat for girls. And that's kind of a guy, I think, you know, I don't know if this is going to sound unfair, but I almost think it's worse for guys because they're trying to get both bigger, heavier, and leaner. So they're trying to do
They're trying to do the two things at the same time.
Yeah. Which is seems totally conflicting to me anyways. And I may get like ripped on by our female listeners, but it seems like the main movement for girls is just lighter, whereas guys, it's like I got to put like significant amounts of muscle on, but at the same time burn as much fat off.
Yeah.
So I almost feel like they're trying to do like far too much at the same time.
Yeah, because no girl wants to be more muscular. In fact, that's one of the sort of barriers to weight training for a lot of women, is that they think that they're just suddenly going to explode. Right.
Yeah, which I've never understood, because guys spend their whole lives trying to build muscle and they can't do it. So I don't get how women think it's just going to accidentally happen to them.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think maybe girls even look at like bodybuilder guys in the gym, like the guys that are using drugs, and think that, oh my God, like that might actually happen to them. Like I don't think maybe too many women realize that there's a decent chunk of guys in just about any gym you've ever been in. Like the biggest guys are typically on steroids, and so don't compare. Like there's no the other guys in the gym can't do that, let alone any girl. So it's, I don't know, maybe that's what they're doing. And don't kid yourself, there's some girls in the gym who are on steroids too, like depending what gym you're, like our gym for sure has at least half a dozen. So they're I don't know if they throw off perception for other girls, but it's just girls just cannot accidentally all of a sudden become huge.
Either that, or maybe there's something about estrogen that we just don't know about.
Yeah, well, maybe. It's just it just seems rare. It seems like any girl who trains, you know, consistently with weights just ends up with a good figure.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways,
I don't think that there is something about estrogen that we don't know about. I'm just sort of I just said that sarcastically. So.
Yeah. Okay, but that didn't come across though.
No, I'm sorry. That just was totally off.
Right. Anyways, so let's get to so the belly fat thing. So because you were kind of saying that some people mistake fat, loose skin, as it's still just fat. It's not loose skin.
Yeah, and they just haven't leaned out far enough. So if they kept going, that would just go away. And that whole idea of the loose skin being there just wouldn't be there.
Yeah, it's still a layer of fat. It's just a smaller layer of fat. So it maybe comes across looking like just loose skin. And that's the thing. There's more. We deposit fat typically in that area more than other areas of your body. So, you know, the amount of fat that's stored in your arm, let's say, there's not as much as stored around your waist. So as you're losing fat systemically, if you're like on a fat loss diet program, you're losing fat all over your body. And since there's more around your midsection, it just takes longer you're losing it there as well. It's just that in the areas where there's less fat to lose, the leanness will show through quicker. Like it'll, you know, when it shows in the person's face, it shows in their arms. But it takes longer to show in your abdomen just because there's just more fat to get rid of. And so, like, what you're just saying, it's going, it's burning. You just need to keep going. And I guess people get like the, it's almost like since the rest of your body becomes more leaner and more defined first because there's less fat, I think people think that their kind of belly abdomen area is supposed to get that lean that fast.
Like, yeah, no, I think that's totally true. And I think it becomes more obvious that there is fat there when the rest of you is starting to lean out because your general body contour also changes. So it's not just sort of what you see in the mirror, but again, that whole idea of the silhouette. So if you look at yourself from the front and you were to somehow backlight yourself or just project your shadow on the wall, as you get leaner, those certain parts of you are going to sort of silhouette less chubby. But the last thing to go is going to, for men at least, for the most part, is going to be abdominal fat. And so when the rest of you is leaning in, there's the apparent discrepancy between what is elsewhere and your abdomen becomes emphasized.
Yeah, so there may even be a few weeks or a month where it almost seems like your shoulders and chest have shrunk, but your gut's the same size.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Although it probably isn't. It's probably like your waist size is still probably coming down.
Oh, agree. Oh, yeah, 100% agreed. It's just that the illusion might not be as much as you'd hoped it would be at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because there's more there to get rid of.
I mean, ultimately, it's all about creating an illusion. You're not necessarily trying, like we've talked about before, the 5'8" person can't weigh the same as a 6'6" person. It's just intuitively not sensical for them to both be shooting for the same weight.
Right. They're just shooting for the same proportion.
Yeah. And so it's all relative. It's all relative to height, shoulder, waist, and so on.
For guys and girls. It's proportions. It's still just proportions. I think maybe girls get the concept of proportions more than guys. Or at least maybe it's a little bit, I don't know. I think when you think about like models and stuff, it's for girls, it's not typically a weight thing. It's more of a proportion thing.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. Although again, like even with that, it's I think a lot of what shapes what you think is possible is shaped by those images, and you don't know what's possible because you have no idea of what the people in those images have actually done in reality.
Yeah.
So you see the fitness model in a magazine, and she might be ultra lean, and she still has breasts. And I can tell you, those are not real. Not real. If she's ultra lean and still has, you know, a decent cup size, those are not hers. Like, well, they're hers because she paid for them. But
right.
You know, they're not her native breasts because somebody who gets down that lean,
like when you say that lean, you're saying visible six pack.
Yeah.
On a woman.
Yeah, it's just not possible. I mean, there's always going to be your genetic, you know, variability. There's always going to be the exception to the rule. But on average, a woman who gets down to that degree of leanness is going to lose breast size because your breasts are just fat for the most part.
Right.
And if you lose fat elsewhere, you're going to lose it out of your breasts.
Right. And then I've had a friend tell me that a friend of hers has done some modeling with Playboy. I don't exactly know how their entire corporate structure is and how many models they keep on board, but she knows of models who just go get a quick liposuction before a photo shoot.
Yeah.
You know that a lot more about that than me as far as how much you can take out, but they basically just go and get their waist tightened up a bit. And, you know, within a week or two, once the shoot's ready, and that's how they just get into the proportion they need for the photo shoot.
Yeah.
And she said it's very common. It's not unusual. It's just what you do. It's just what they do.
Yeah, I think there's certainly clients in plastic surgery who are sort of more media front, like they're in a media of some kind, whether it's Playboy or some other media. And they do generally go for some of them, not all of them, but some of them do have touch-ups done, either, you know, it may be to their face, it may be to their body contour, it may be to something else. But you can't tell between fitness figures or fitness models in magazines who's totally there because they were just there and they, you know, they just put in the work versus the person who's there because they also put in a lot of work, but they also have extra enhancements. And that goes for guys and girls. It's really hard if you're to the untrained eye to look through like even Men's Health magazine, for instance, and say that model I would like to look like, and that one I also want to look like. You can't really differentiate which one of those models is on steroids or not.
Yeah, it's tough. It's really, and the girls. Some girls use steroids too, and you may not necessarily, or other various drugs that help with getting lean. And it's like you said, it's not really an exact science. It's just if you've been around it long enough, you kind of get used to the look. Because once you get to know, like when you know for sure. A group of people who have used, and you remember what they look like throughout their contest diet, what they look like on stage. Like once you get used to it over the years, then you kind of have this sort of personal database in your head of like, oh, I know what, you know, someone who's been training for 5 years and using drugs for three looks like. I know what, you know, a national level fitness competitor on this and this drug looks like. And then you get used to it. And then when you see people in the gym, you're like, oh, okay, I get it. That guy over there, it looks just like the five other people I know who've used drug X and Y, so it's a very good bet that that person's using drug X and Y. But the untrained eye, like you said, someone who's never been in those circles and can't confirm at all what the associated look of a particular cocktail of drugs looks like, they're just going to be sort of guessing. They're never really going to know like what models – like they won't even know really maybe even the degree of touch-ups and what kind of photo shoot lighting and all that kind of stuff that goes into the pictures they're looking at.
Right.
Yeah, so I guess we've strayed off track here a little bit the stubborn belly fat. So I think we should just bring it back in before we wrap it up. So I guess the takeaway message is that belly fat isn't really any different than any of the other fat on your body. It's just it tends to accumulate there, so it takes longer. It takes longer for the underlying muscle in that area to show through. Versus the other parts of your body. So you're going to notice yourself getting leaner in every other area besides like quicker than that area. It doesn't mean that area is not losing fat. It just means it just has a lot further to go than the rest of your body.
Yeah, I think that's totally right.
And then for women, it's typically in the hip and thigh area. But this is the same thing. It's just wherever you tend to store the most of it, it will be the
last place that you notice it going.
That you notice it. It doesn't mean it's not going. It just means it's the last place you're going to notice. Like, for instance, some of our guys that are dieting down for our contest, they're losing inches and inches off their waist. So they're measuring it, so they know it's coming down. They can't see their abs yet, but their waists in some cases are 5 to 7 inches smaller. So there's a big change. Like, it's changing. It's just... And their arms and chests are getting a lot more defined, like visibly defined. And by measuring their waist, they know it's getting smaller. They just can't see their abs yet. And that's the proof that the fat's coming off. It's just going to take a bit longer to see. So it's not stubborn. It doesn't act any differently. It just takes
longer. Just more of it there.
And I think people on the way down tend to slow down when they're at a – anyone who's had a big, big weight loss and kind of isn't all the way to their, you know, visible abs yet, but are getting close, may be happy with where they are sort of along the way and maybe tend to loosen up, when they're getting towards the end. Mm. It seems to be something that's been happening, like, you know, talking to different people that they seem to like, they're like, I'm almost there. I know it's only 5 more pounds and they kind of, it's almost like, you know, the first 35, 40 pounds that's when all the heavy lifting was done and they sort of, they're so happy with the change that they don't really care about the last five sort of thing.
Well, and there's, I think if you're happy there, then there's no reason to continue going.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You might not be. And if that's the case, then you should keep going and you have to attack it with that same fervor. You can't just lax off on that. And, but also I think that your body, as you come down in body fat to a certain degree, your body in general And we're talking about like super levels of leanness. We're not talking in that sort of, you know, comfortable, I like the way I look for most people kind of scenario. But when you get into the ultra lean phases, I think your body probably does fight you a little bit on that level because it doesn't want to go necessarily there.
Yeah.
Which is maybe why people can't hold that look for a prolonged period of time, like the ultra, ultra lean look.
Besides true ectomorphs, like people who have that look like all the time, like without ever thinking about it, I don't know of too many other people who can just get there and stay there.
Yeah.
You can look good. But I just don't know how many people can get to like an ectomorph's style of leanness. It's just, I don't know if there's not even enough data to suggest why it's set up that way. But any bodybuilder will tell you that the only time they have that kind of definition is just on the day of the show.
Exactly.
The rest of the year, they don't look like that.
Yeah.
And anybody who trains models and athletes like that, the same thing. It doesn't mean they don't look really good. It just means they aren't that ripped until literally the day of the show, sort of thing. So I also think people have like some conception that those people look like that all year, which they don't.
I think people fail to differentiate between the ultra lean look and the mostly lean look. They somehow equate the two. Like the bodybuilder, you know, fitness model who's like shredded is almost in some people's minds possibly equated with the, you know, tabloidish looking person who's got a six pack. And they're not like totally shredded. They've got a six pack, which requires a certain degree of leanness, but you can't see like every single tiny everything.
Yeah, all the details on the sides and the obliques and everything. There's two levels there, and I don't think the average person realizes that that more shredded level is a temporary kind of look, and almost nobody really has that on any long-term basis, unless they were lean all the time. Like unless they started that way, and then that's actually not that much of an effort for them to push it that much further.
Right.
So
but that's
I guess,
not really most people. So
no, then that's again we're talking on the there's a few people who can maintain that, but everyone else it's and again we're not saying everyone else can't look good. It's just not quite as extreme.
Exactly.
And I guess it's just adjusting an image thing. So I guess to wrap it all up, if losing fat's an issue, or is something that's a goal, and your stubborn areas, whatever you call a stubborn area, being belly fat for guys typically and hips and thighs for women, those areas you can still lose from. It's just that, and you are losing. If you're losing weight, you are losing from those areas. It just takes a bit longer to show through, and compared to the rest of your body, the rest of your body will always show it quicker, especially your face and, you know, your upper body. And your, you know, upper body being like shoulders, chest, arms, things like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, I guess that's it for me. You got anything else?
I don't think so, per se. I just like looking at body fat percentages if people are doing that, although I don't think most people, well, if you're getting on a Tantia scale maybe or one of those bioelectric scales, if the numbers are coming, again, it all comes down to sort of weighing the objective evidence and, you know, just trusting the numbers that you're measuring as long as you're measuring them consistently, because you're not going to, the difference between, you know, even 20% and 12% body fat, you're not really going to see a whole lot of a difference in the mirror until you hit that, you know, until you start approaching that 10% level.
Oh, you mean like in the midsection area?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree. And I don't think.
And I think that's why people think of it as stubborn, because they see themselves, like we talked about, you see that they see themselves shrinking down, shrinking down, shrinking down. And all of a sudden there's this sort of odd visual plateau where nothing seems to be happening, even though it is happening, if they were actually measuring it and not just looking at themselves in the mirror and going, oh, nothing's happening today.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's a phenomenon that's happened over and over again.
Yeah.
I get a lot of feedback from guys that are, you know, trying to get lean, dieting down. And I'm like, no, don't worry about it. You're still progressing. Just, you know what? I think at the beginning, again, like we're trying to wrap this up, at the beginning of the weight loss, everything happens so dramatic.
Yeah.
It seems like stuff's changing every couple of days.
Yeah.
And then as you approach like you said, in the mid, you know, the between 20 and the low teens of body fat percentage, there are visual sort of tricks where it looks like nothing's happening. And yeah. Everybody who gets to that level, like without fail, starts, they're like, wait a minute, what's going on? I think of plateau. I think of stall. I'm like, no, you're not. It's just, you're kind of, this is the next sort of bump until, you know, you get closer to the low teens around 10%. And that's when all of a sudden you start seeing things. And, you know, some people have mentioned that they, our last contest winners were mentioned that the last two or three days before the show, all of a sudden everything just sort of came together.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's coming, it's there. And as long as you keep progressing, you'll get there. It's just, you know, you're going to have to accept the fact that sometimes it just doesn't look like it.
I think you just have to trust your numbers. Like, I think the lesson to take away from this, not only is it that there is no such thing as quote unquote stubborn fat, it doesn't react differently, but that you should not always trust what you're seeing, and that you should trust what you're measuring. Again, as long as you're measuring it consistently in the same manner every time, right? So if your weight is dropping, if your waist size is dropping, if the numbers are showing a difference, then things are happening regardless of what you're seeing. And sometimes getting caught up in seeing yourself in the mirror is not necessarily the best indicator of whether you're actually improving or not.
All right. I think that's the best way to leave it.
Cool.
All right. So for Brian Chung, I'm John Barbin, and that was your Phi Life Podcast.